Joshua chapter 10. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmut, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmut, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua and to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thine hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, and the people, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled, and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmut, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on 5 trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. And that day Joshua took Makkedah and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed, them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain. And he did unto the king of Makkedah as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makkedah, and all Israel went with him unto Libnah and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also and the king thereof into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it. But he did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libnah, and all Israel with him unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people, until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron. And they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword. And the king thereof and all the cities thereof and all the souls that were therein he left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and he fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so did he to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So I want to maybe do like a 30,000 foot over this. We're a little bit short on time, but the first thing that is important to remember here is Joshua and the Israelites' attitude toward the Gibeonites. They had taken vows not to slay them. They'd made them hewers of wood and drawers of water, so they were unarmed. They had perhaps farming implements, but no weaponry. And so the five kings of the south, and keep in mind that what we're describing here throughout this chapter is the conquest of southern Israel, where Judah and Benjamin and Simeon would live later on. The hill country, the country of the springs, from the Dead Sea in the south of Israel all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in that southern portion. All of these cities are in and around that southern portion. So five of those kings gather themselves together, not to go against Joshua, but to go against Gibeon. My own opinion on this is that the Israelites yet needed a little bit of help from the Lord. They needed a nudge to go into their inheritance as the Lord would have them. And so the first thing he did was he gave them Jericho and all the encouragements that came with Jericho. But then they failed to call upon the name of the Lord, and they fell at Ai, 36 of them did, and then Ai was conquered. Then he gave them another encouragement, which was also a mixed encouragement, because they did not call upon the name of the Lord, but the Gibeonites became their servants, yet they were Canaanites, and now they've sworn to keep Canaanites alive, and they might be discouraged. We don't know what we're doing. How are we supposed to go forward from here? And so what the Lord does is he uses those very Gibeonites to draw them into a battle as five kings band together to go and conquer not Joshua in Gilgal, but the Gibeonites instead. So they are drawn into this battle against these five kings, and the Lord gives them victory. Number one, they honored the vows that they had made. Beloved, do you hear the Lord's vindication, even of that extraordinary providence here? While chastising them and correcting them for their failure to call upon the name of the Lord, still he makes use of that to draw them in to their inheritance. Isn't that an amazing thing? The Lord doesn't say, you've fouled that now, we can't touch it again. No. He makes use of that in a way to draw them and to bring them into their inheritance, which is indeed a mercy from the Lord. They may have been somewhat reticent to move forward. Maybe they were becoming complacent. Maybe they had what they thought was enough room thus far. We're not told in the text, but what we are told is that in the attack of the Gibeonites, those five kings drew themselves into a defensive battle. It was a defensive battle from Israel's perspective as folks that they were responsible for were being attacked. And so they were drawn in that way. And the Lord gave them that victory, and he gave them an extraordinary victory in that there was too much work for them to do in one day. So the Lord extended that day into two. The sun did not go down so that in darkness their enemy might escape. So everything stopped. I don't know how that happened. I don't have to know how it happened. I only know that it happened. And that the Lord fought for Israel that day. It's a very interesting thing, right? Because sometimes we will hear, for instance, as we get to the book of Judges, and we'll hear about Sisera, that the sun and the moon and the stars fought against Sisera. Well, here, most certainly, the sun fought against those five kings in that it was caused to stand still in the sky. That Joshua prayed for more time to pursue and overtake the enemy, and the Lord gave him that time. And so in that sense, the sun fought for Israel that day. But we know it was the Lord that fought for Israel. All right, so that's the first portion. So then the second portion is the death of those five kings. And so apparently they weren't very good leaders, those kings. They left their troops in the field and escaped themselves. They banded together and they said, we better get out of here, these five kings. And so they did. And they hid themselves in a cave near the city of Makkedah. Well, it was made known to Joshua where they were, and the cowardly kings that deserted their troops in the field were holed up in the cave by moving great stones upon it, and then a guard was given over it. And then after they were done destroying that day, they came back to that cave, and they brought those five kings out. And before they slew them, the Lord put upon Joshua's heart a very important metaphor, a very important sign. You guys, all of you captains of the army, you come forth and you put your feet upon the necks of these men. So will the Lord do for us to the rest of the Canaanites. And so the Lord brings his people along little by little, encouraging at every step along the way. And notice also that there's no rapaciousness nor abuse. The men are hung up, but at the evening they are taken down and buried. Right, and so this tells us that the army of Joshua, although they killed everything that breathed according to the commandment of the Lord, that they were not bloodthirsty men. They did not abuse the bodies of those kings. They hung them up for all to see in order further to encourage the people. But then at evening, they took them down and buried them. They gave them a proper burial. Right? Remember what they said about Jezebel, Go find her and bury her. She's a king's daughter. Well, they couldn't find her, could they? Yet here, being kings themselves, they were given proper honor and respect and were buried. All right, then after that, notice that there is another defensive battle that they're drawn into. So first, they go to several of those southern cities, and then as they come up against, I believe it was Eglon, one of the other kings rises up and he decides that he's going to defend Eglon, as I recall. And notice what happens, he's struck as well. And so not only did we start out with five kings, but we ended up with the entirety of that southern portion that will become Israel being subdued unto Joshua. And all because the Lord drew them into a battle because of an oath that they made in error, that the Lord would continue his encouragement of them, that what he has promised he will bring to pass. And so the Lord gave them victory over all of those cities, and they did not return unto Gilgal until all of that work was done. And beloved, once again we see the perseverance and diligence of the army under its commander, Joshua. Well, in the last moment that we have here, I would be remiss if I did not say that there is a greater Joshua, and he leads his people into a battle in which they will be victorious over all of their enemies, right? The names are given providentially by God so that we will see that although Joshua of old brought the people of God into the land of their rest, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, he did not really provide that rest, but it is the greater Joshua that provides that true rest from all of our enemies. All right, well, let's stand and continue praising.